Yosef is sent off by Yaakov Avinu to go find his brothers. And they were there grazing the sheep in the city of Shechem. And ultimately, as we know, Yosef gets sold by his brothers. And Rashi comments that in Shechem, Shechem was a makom muchal lepranis. Shechem is a place that has been destined for terrible things to happen. A place destined for the Mechiras Yosef. A place that was destined for the kidnapping of Dina. A place that was destined for the splitting of Malchus Yehud and Malchus Yisrael. These are the terrible events, tragedies of Am Yisrael that took place in Shechem. Which raises a big question, because later on in Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov Avinu is telling Yosef that Ephraim and Manasseh are going to be like Reuven and Shimon, and that Yosef is going to be Zoche to an extra shevet above the other brothers, the pasuk says, "Vani nesati lecha Shechem echad alechecha." I'm going to give you Shechem on top of your brothers. Ashilakachti miyad ha'amori, that I took away becharbi ubechakashti, that I fought, I conquered it, and I'm giving you Shechem. Rashi says Shechem mamish. She was given the city of Shechem. This was a gift. This city that was destined for Peronis, that was destined for terrible things, where Yosef himself experienced trauma, where he was sent down to Mitzrayim for years, and all of Am Yisrael took place in Shechem, where his sister Dina was kidnapped. This is a gift to give to Yosef HaTzadik. Recently, I seen someone that I knew, not well, but I knew. He told me that he just started to daven in a new minyan. He was part of a new minyan. And he went on to describe to me that he was part of a different shul. And this different shul, he had started also from a previous shul. So now this person is on his third shul in as many years. He's complaining about this shul, complaining about that shul. Some people are just not happy anywhere. They always like to blame others, blame the rabbi, blame the people in the shul. But they never take responsibility for their own actions. Maybe it's something about them. The fact that this guy's jumped from one shul to the next shul to the next shul, maybe he needs to look in the mirror and something needs to change about him to make himself better, to change his perspective. And people are always quick to blame others. Something goes wrong in yeshiva. Something happens to a kid. They blame the yeshiva, they blame the rebbe, they blame the teacher, the school, the shul, the friends, the wife, the husband, the kids, the in-laws. Sometimes it's true. But rarely do people look at themselves. Maybe there's something that they're not doing right. Maybe they're blind to their own flaws, to their own shortcomings. Parents send their kids to yeshiva and expect everything to go perfect. And if something doesn't go perfect, well, then it's the Rebbe's fault. It's the yeshiva's fault. It's the class he was placed in. I can't believe you gave me this Rebbe. I can't believe you're having him sit next to this kid. But what kind of effort is the parent putting in? Are they sitting down at home doing homework? Are they reviewing? Are they helping them study? Are they looking over the tests? And my wife's a fourth grade teacher, and she's amazed that some parents come in for parent-teachers conference and are shocked by the grades our kids got at parent-teachers, the report card. And my wife's like, haven't you been seeing the tests they've been getting every week up until this point? Where have you been? You can't just send the kids off to school and to yeshiva and expect everything to go great. There's a partnership. People are not willing to look at their own shortcomings. There's no sense of responsibility, accountability. Sometimes you need to look in the mirror, what could you do better as a person? What could you do better as part of a shul, as part of yeshiva, as a parent? Maybe there's something that you could change and something you could do better at. What's even worse is when the parents contribute to their own kids' shortcomings. when they confuse the kids entirely. When you present these contradictions, you send the kids to yeshiva and school and you don't keep to their standards. You send to a school that doesn't approve smartphones, but you go ahead and buy your kids smartphones. If you want your kids to have smartphones, send them to a different school. Don't give them these contradictions, these mixed messages. You send to the kid to a certain school with a dress code, keep that dress code yourself. About not going to certain camps, certain vacations. These are mixed messages. You are terribly affecting your kid's growth. Chinuch takes two people or two entities, the yeshiva and the parents. Parents can't just send the yeshiva, hope for the best, and do what they want at home. That's mixed messages. When my daughter Batsheva was in school, she still is in school, but when she was younger, so I was once doing homework with her, and she was doing a math problem, and she wrote the plus sign as a kamatz. She didn't have the top of it. It was just a kamatz. So I had asked her why she wrote it like that. She said, because it's not Jewish to write the full plus sign. Now, she was a young girl, I think maybe first or second grade. I said, I've never heard of such a thing. It's a plus sign. It's not a cross. It's a plus sign. I wanted to call up the school. Now, so I called my Rebbe Rav Wulig. Rav Wulig said, don't say a thing to the school. Don't say a thing to your daughter. Just let it be. You don't want to create mixed messages. You don't want to tell your kids, they're being extra from in yeshiva in school, but at home we do it this way. Now the kids are all confused, and now they're not going to respect authority. The Chiddush HaRim comments on the pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha v'nivrechu v'cha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Avraham Avinu that you are going to be the source of all bracha. People are going to bless their children, that they should be Kavram, that my son should be like Avraham Avinu. And the Chiddush HaRim joked that they want their kids to be like Avraham Avinu, but they themselves want to stay like Terach. They want to be like a father Avram. They want to still party and go on vacations and eat where they want to eat and listen to the music they want to listen to and dress the way they want to dress. But they want the kids to be a Beis Yaakov person, a yeshiva bacher. But for themselves, they want to live a fun life full of gashmias and preaches. But for their kids, they want something different. How do you expect to raise your kids that way if you're going to be Terach and they're going to be Avram? It doesn't make sense. Avram's one in a lifetime. To grow up like Avram and to have a parent like Terach, it doesn't work like that. You need to bonal. Part of the problem sometimes comes from the parents. You need to look at yourself in the mirror and what could you change? I was with an individual the other day and he had mentioned to me that he apologized. He didn't come to one of my shiurim. He was busy with work. And so his son looks up at his father and says, no, you weren't. You were watching the Cavs basketball game. And where is their consistency? You have to be able to parent your kids in a certain way where you show them what's important, what's not. Priority. What are your priorities? And so the Bris Avram of Slonim says the following idea. Why in the Parsha does the Torah place the story of Erva One next to the story of Yosef Atzadik? And explains Rav Avram Weinberg from Slonim, the Beis Avram, to tell us the following yesod. That doesn't make a difference where you are. Yes, we have a concept in Chazal, if a person wants to do tshuva, shinoi makom, shinoi shem helps. You move locations, you move house, you move towns, you change your name. It helps. But it's not magical where you just move somewhere else and become a new person. It helps. It maybe gets it started. A little inertia. But to mamish change, you have to build that own strength and confidence on your own, right? So Erva Onin, who lived in an atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael, a Mokum of Kedusha, despite the fact they lived in such a place, in such an atmosphere, they still did what they did. They still violated the Avera that they were involved in. As opposed to Yosef at Tzadik, who lived in Mitzrayim, a place of Tumma and Erva, filth and disgust, he wasn't affected by it. He was Yosef at Tzadik. and was able to overcome that extremely difficult test. Just because you're going to the city and it's challenging of Shmiras Hanayim doesn't mean you have to give up. Yes, staying in a certain frum environment helps. I'm not encouraging avoiding it. But sometimes you have to go to places for work, for business, to Las Vegas, to the city. It's part of life sometimes. And you can't just give up. You have to be Yosef Tzadik. And you can't expect just because you go to Eretz Yisrael, things are going to be great. You have to work on yourself. It requires effort and energy. So Yosef Tzadik was above all of that. There's such a thing as mazel. But the Gemara says, Ein mazel Yisrael. We're all destined for certain things. There's mazel for people, there's mazel for places, there's mazel for time. But Ein mazel Yisrael, we could go above that if we choose to. We could go above time, above place, above ourselves. Yosef went above that. Yosef is not bound. He was not bound by the Yetzirah, the Gemara tells us. Ein Yetzirah Sholei Bo. He was able to transcend the forces of the Yetzirah. We don't have the ability to change others. We can't change entire schools and yeshivas and people. But we could change ourselves, be role models for our children. And regardless of the circumstance we find ourselves in, we could become better people. And that's the reason perhaps why Yosef HaTzadik was given Shechem. He was given the worst place in Eretz Yisrael, that was Muchal Lepronis, a place that was destined for awful, evil, terrible things to happen. And despite that, Yosef didn't care. He lived in Mitzrayim, much worse than Shechem, and he was able to overcome the distractions. Because if you focus on a target, you focus on a goal, we can become great people like Yosef HaTzadik. We don't focus on the katnus, the little things around us that are distracting us. We focus on how great we could be. Then we could become gedolim. There's a story about a young boy whose name was Boris Green. The Boris Green grew up in a town not too far from Vilna. And the Nazis invaded. And he got together a group of partisans and they named the group Nekama, Revenge. And they were very successful in hampering the Nazis' efforts in the area. And among the fighters, there were a number of family men who had escaped with their wives and children into the forest. Of the 500 members of this group, there were 300 women and children. Caring for all these non-fighters added to the burden on resources and the risk of discovery. But Boris would not hear of sending any of them away to fend for themselves. Boris Green was their leader and provider. When the Nazis arrived in the area and began combing the forest for partisans, the other groups fled. Boris knew there was no escape, so he led his group into a mosquito-infested swamp where he was able to keep them together and out of the Nazis' reach. This strategy enabled him to save hundreds of lives single-handedly. Boris Green was a true hero. After the war, he settled in Melbourne, Australia, where he ran a small business there. Years passed, and one day Boris Green attended a Holocaust memorial service with a group of fellow survivors. At that service, he met Rabbi Avram, who had read a book detailing Boris's heroic story. Now, Rav Avram, Dayan Yonason Avram, had shared this story at an Aguda convention, and he said the following story. Boris, he asked, where did you get the drive, the confidence, and courage to lead a partisan group and fight the Nazis like that? How were you able to take the responsibility, the achrayus, of saving all those women and children in the face of death? Rabbi, my name is not Boris Green. My real name is Baruch Greinemann. I'm related to the Chazon Ish. I want you to know that when I was a young boy, I was very mischievous, and it wasn't clear where I was heading in life. And one day I received a letter from the Chazon Ish that I will never forget. He wrote very kind words, and at the end of the letter he finished with the words, Zeh HaKatan Gadol Yehiyeh. This child will become great. Rabbi, you don't know how many times I was so close to death. But because of the Chazon Ish's bracha and confidence in me, I am here today. He gave me the courage and confidence to push through and inspired me to become as great as I could be despite where I live, despite any surroundings, any distractions. I focused on my goal, my target of being a great person. As Yosef HaTzadik did. He was in a place of Mitzrayim. He could be in a place like Shechem. He could be anywhere and become great. As Boris Green did. Baruch Greinman. We all have that ability to stop paying attention to the noise and the distractions. Stop blaming others. But it's about time we step up to the plate, not to blame ourselves, but just make ourselves greater. In Mirtz Hashem, we should be zocha to accomplish so much in life, to focus on the positive, to focus on our goals and our targets, and become great people in a great nation.